Amen. This is the right way to begin a new year. See, people commit their lives to the Lord, come together and celebrate the Lord's Supper today. If you didn't know, we're having our communion service. So I want to wish you a happy Sabbath, a blessed Lord's Day. You know, they're one and the same. And a new year. And we're just so thankful. We have a special emphasis today in dealing with getting a fresh beginning. And that's why we have the title of the message as it is, Regular Reminders. Now, because we do have our communion service, and the sermon will not be as long as it typically is, because we want to save time for the other aspects of celebrating the Lord's Supper together. But you know, as you heard in the scripture reading, we all need regular reminders. One of the last things Peter says in his second letter is, he said, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to put you in remembrance. We need to remember. Now, what was the problem? Is that humans have chronic memory problems. You've heard about the man that went to the doctor. He said, Doctor, you've got to help me. He said, I can't remember anything from one minute to the next. He said, how long have you had this issue? He said, what issue? And we laugh because there's some truth to that, is we tend to forget. Now, I remember when I was first a Christian, before I became a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, I used to worship with a lot of friends in the charismatic Pentecostal churches, and they were always having revivals. And I thought, when are you going to have the last revival? And you'll be revived, and you just stay revived. My idea of a revival was, you know, someone has a heart attack, and along comes the paramedics, and they say clear, you know, and they have that very disturbing event where they put the metal zappers on them, and they shock them, and their body arches, and they've been revived. You don't want to keep doing that, right? So I thought, how many revivals do you need before you're revived? But it's really a misnomer. It's more like going to the gym. You all know what happens if you don't exercise and you don't go to the gym. All I need to do is miss a few days. I look in the mirror, I see the difference. It's just you start getting flabby, you lose your tone, you start feeling the difference. It's something you just have to keep doing. Now, there's a few people that have what we would call photographic memories. I've got a photographic memory, I just don't have film. I used to have a much better memory than I have now. Technically, they say nobody really has a photographic memory. There are some people that have like a running memory. They can tell you every day in their life. Very rare. It's like 1 in 10 million. The few people they've studied, and they can, as far back as 3 or 4 years old, they can say, I remember what day of the week it was. I remember what I wore that day. I remember what I ate that day. And you talk to them, you think they're normal people. Then you have some people that are like savants. Sometimes they're a little strange, but they can remember everything they read. They know, I've had a few friends like this, they could tell you every zip code of every city in every country in North America. They knew the area codes, they knew the zip codes, and I mean, they were just brilliant in certain areas, but they were socially a little dysfunctional. And there are some musicians that way. The world's leading chess master, grandmaster, is brilliant, but socially a little awkward. And I'll let you look him up. It's a fascinating story. A genius in chess. So some people have great memories in that respect. You can't learn without a memory. I mean, intelligence is really measured memory. If somebody touches a hot stove and they go, ow, that really hurt, and a minute later they go, oh, that really hurt. You'll say, well, if they keep doing that, they're not very bright, right? They keep making the same mistake. They're not learning. And so, but you can improve your memory. I just finished a book I was telling Pastor Ross. Interesting character. Richard Francis Burton, Sir Richard Francis Burton, lived in the 1800s. He was the first European that disguised himself as a Muslim and made the pilgrimage to Mecca, said all the prayers in Arabic. He had learned the entire Quran. He could speak Arabic and 29 other languages fluently. He was able, if he had been caught as a European going to Mecca, they would have killed him. He already had dark eyes and dark hair and dark mustache. He actually tinted his skin a little bit so he could look more Arabic, but he spoke so fluently they did not know he was British. Just an incredible, prodigious memory and a mind. But the most important thing to remember is God. We tend to forget. Some things don't matter, though they are embarrassing. Who here will admit you've gone shopping to a shopping center or a mall, you walk out, and you don't remember where you parked your car? We will see a show of hands. Come on. So I want you to know you're not alone. I've done it. Matter of fact, I've done it so often, it's embarrassing when you're out there and you're going like this. You know people are watching you. And you're going like this, and you hold up your key, and you're waiting for somebody's... Quick story, true story. A friend of mine went to visit his brother in Montana. His brother, he had a really rough flight. He was very tired, but he got there, and his brother said, "Hey, look, I got to go to the dentist that's at the mall." And they drove to the mall, and he went into the mall with his friend. He said, to his brother, "I'm really tired. Can I go back to the car and just take a nap? When you're done, you know, come on out and meet me." He said, "Yeah, sure." Gave him the keys to the Subaru. He went out in the parking lot. Now, this is like the biggest mall in Missoula. And he said, "There's thousands of cars. And in Montana, everybody drives a Subaru." So he walked out there, and he didn't remember where the car was. But he thought, "Well, I'll just walk around." He said it was huge. And he walked around. He kept pressing the button. Finally, he found the car. You know, it beeped. And he went. He laid down. He took a nap. And then his phone went off, and his brother called and said, "I'm done with my appointment." He says, "When are you coming?" He said, "Well, I'm at the car. Come on." And his brother said, "No, I'm at the car." He said, "Well, I'm taking a nap in the car." He said, "You're not taking a nap in my car." He said, "You got the keys, and my car's right here. I know the license plate." He had found another white Subaru that had the same frequency in the key, and here he is sleeping in some stranger's car. True story. I walked into the Amazing Facts parking lot the other day, and I've got a gray, you know, SUV. There's a lot of them out there. And someone, I walked up to get in my car, and I looked up, and someone was sitting in my seat. And they rolled down the window this far because I think I scared them. And they said, "This is not your car." And indeed it wasn't. Same model, same color, not my car. Well, we laugh, but we know we all struggle sometimes to remember. Just this week, Karen said she went to the store and she knew there was something she was supposed to get and she didn't remember what it was, so she walked up and down the aisles hoping it would come to her. Anyone else ever do that? I seem to walk up and down the aisles and buy all these things I didn't know I needed until I got to the store. That's what they're hoping you're going to do. You know, in Revelation, Jesus tells us, "I have this against you, that you left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen." We have problems remembering God. I want you to look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 8. No, I'll tell you what. Let's start with Deuteronomy 6, verse 10. Deuteronomy 6, verse 10. One of the things Moses, and he wrote this book, it's his final sermon, is Deuteronomy, to remind them of how God had led them, because he knew human nature. He knew they'd be prone to forget. And he says in verse 10, "So it will be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities that you did not build, houses full of good things that you did not fill, hewn out wells that you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. When you have eaten and you are full, then beware." It's like you see that sign on the gate and says, "Beware of dog." It means danger. "Beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Now, turn two pages to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And this is a theme that you cannot miss. This chapter is one of the best. Look in verse 10, Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. "When you have eaten and you are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments." We tend to forget. "His judgments and his statutes, which I command you today." Go to verse 14. "When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Go to verse 18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for he is the one who gives you power to get wealth, that he might establish his covenant he swore with our fathers, as it is this day. Verse 19, then it shall be if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, you will surely perish. He's saying, remember, remember, don't forget, remember, remember, because we are prone to forget the one who saved us. Now, there's really simply three points I want to make here. One is remembering his word, remembering your witness, remembering to worship. It's basically, and it's a good time every new year, to remember the three Christian disciplines. When you're in the holy place of the sanctuary, there were three articles of furniture. There was a table of showbread, that's the word. There was a lampstand, letting your light shine, that's the witness. There was the altar of incense. Revelation says, that's the prayers. The worship. These are the three things. Now, I just told you where Moses said, don't forget his commandments. Look at Psalm 119. This is, of course, the longest chapter in the Bible. We're not going to read it all. I had a next-door neighbor. Karen and I had a neighbor that memorized the entire New Testament. And the amazing thing to me is he would run around the block while he was jogging with a Bible in his hand and read. I don't know how you can do that. But he, and I tested him a couple times because I know the Bible pretty well. And I'd randomly say, okay, Acts chapter 12, verse 1. He'd start right off. About that time, Herod the king began to persecute the church. I'd give him another verse and he'd start right off. And he'd think for a minute. I said, that's amazing. He said, now, I have to keep reading it to say I memorized it. Because if I stop for a few weeks, I start to forget. So I think if I asked him now, and I still know him, that he'd probably say, no, I can't do it anymore. But we need to hide God's word in our heart. That's Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin. How important is that? What did Jesus do to resist temptation? It is written, it is written, it is written. He did not say, Satan, hang on 1 minute, let me look that up on my phone. You know, I think computers and artificial intelligence is making us less intelligent because we don't have to remember as much, do we? And so our memories are not getting, memory's like a muscle. You can exercise it, it gets stronger. And I think the devil is dumbing us all down. Hide God's word in our heart. We need to memorize scripture, friends. Every year, beginning of the year, I start reading through the Bible. A few days ago, I read, Even So Come, Lord Jesus, in Revelation. Started up again. I'm reading both the Old Testament and the New Testament. I read them side by side. When I get to December 31, 2025, I will have finished the Old and New Testament on the same day. And I'm always reading the Bible, and I don't have it memorized by any. I'm always reading things going, I don't ever remember reading that. And I've read through the Bible hundreds of times, or at least parts of it. But I'm forgetting all the time. So you have to continually fill your mind with God's word. Seven times in Psalm 119, the main message of Psalm 119 is hiding God's word in our heart and remembering his commandments. Look at verse 16. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Go to verse 83. There's still a lot of verses left. I've become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. Verse 93. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. Verse 109. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. Verse 141. I'm small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Verse 153, consider my affliction, deliver me, for I do not forget your law. And verse 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep, seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. It says precepts, statutes, law, commandments, testimonies. It uses all these different words, and they mean the word of God. And the central message in this longest of Psalms is how beautiful and pure and perfect and necessary the Word of God is, and that we need to read it so we don't forget it. They had a whole song that was music that went with Psalm 119. I remember hearing about some missionaries, and they said that they were camping next to some Buddhists in a temple, and they heard them recite from their holy literature for 21 hours nonstop from memory. You can't teach in a Muslim mosque until you've memorized the Quran. I remember we had a young boy that came to visit our church at Sacramento Central. His father said, he's memorized the book of Revelation. Can he demonstrate? I said, we don't have time for him to read the whole book, but we gave him a couple of random chapters that he got up and he had memorized the whole book. You could memorize more scripture than you think, and you're going to need it in the last days. If your Bible was taken away, have you memorized enough of God's promises to get you through the storm? Exceeding great and precious promises that by this we might become partakers of the divine nature. How did Noah get through the storm? He stored food. God said, you've got to store food for you, you've got to store food for your family and for the animals. You not only need to store enough of God's promises to keep you from sinning, you need to have enough to share. Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. Why doesn't he say, give me this year my yearly bread? Because we daily need to be feeding on God's word. Why can't you just pray once and say, Lord, I'm going to just pray for the whole year right now? Because God knows we forget, and we need to do it on a daily basis. Remembering your witness. Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. After we have the word in us, you want to share the word with others. Acts 1:8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Christ said the gospel will go into all the world and then the end will come. We still have work to do, don't we? Jesus isn't here. That means we still have to be witnesses. So one reason that we want to remember is to witness. In 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you a reason for the faith that is in you with meekness and fear. We need to be ready to share our faith. That doesn't mean you need to remember the whole Bible, but you need to at least know why you believe what you believe when someone asks you. I get phone calls all the time. Members of the church, not necessarily this congregation, but members nationally. Pastor Doug, I've got a neighbor and he asked me this question. What's the answer? Where do I find the answer in the Bible? I'm thinking, why are you calling me? You ought to know that. Pretty elementary. Oh, I need some more verses on the Sabbath truth. Where do I find them? I think, well, you ought to know that. You shouldn't have to call your pastor. Amen? Amen. And you remember these things partly by sharing them with others. Someone said you remember 10% of what you read, 20% of what you hear, which means that you'll forget 80% of this in about a day. It's true. I did a meeting in a church in Northern California, evangelistic meeting, went very well. The pastor said, Doug, let's do another one next year. And I said, I don't know how to break this to you, Pastor, but I've only got one evangelistic series. I don't have like two different evangelistic series. And he said, Doug, you flatter yourself. You think they're going to remember what you said. And I did another series here and it went well and probably shared a lot of the same illustrations. 20% of what we hear, 30% of what we see, 50% of what we see and hear, which is one reason we use slides and we use audio, 60% of what we sing. Singing's a great way to remember. You know, Moses gave them a song to remember. And that's why in the middle of the book, there's 150 psalms. That was to help them remember. There are melodies that went with it. 70% of what you write. So meaning if you hear something and write it. And I see some of you taking notes when you preach. Karen sometimes takes notes when she's hearing a sermon or a lecture. And I know she probably doesn't have them all stored under her bed somewhere. Part of that is because you'll remember it better when you write it down. So you don't have to start right now, but that's just a fact. 80% of what you experience personally and 95% of what you teach someone else. If you want to remember the word, teach someone else. It's one thing to hear a Bible study. It's another thing to give a Bible study. So that's one of the great ways to remember. John 14:26, Jesus makes a promise. But the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The Holy Spirit promises to help us remember, but he's only going to help us remember what we've already put there. You know, they say that most of what you've ever seen or heard or experienced is still in your brain. You just have an access problem. How many of you have had somebody come to your mind, you think, I can't find their name? And you know it's in your head. And sometimes it'll come to you a few minutes later. You just weren't able to access it. And you think and think, and maybe you think about some related memory, and you go, ah, and it comes to you, and you feel, ah. It's like you've accomplished something when you remember that name of somebody, of the little people that live in your house that you couldn't remember. God will give us his Spirit to help us remember. When Pastor Ross and I do the radio program every week, we're getting live Bible questions. And we do have computers at our fingertips, but 99% of the time, we know what the answers are, and we can answer them without having to look up the answer. But we pray before every program that the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance the things that we formerly studied. Someday you may be called to give a defense for your faith, and you're going to want to be able to remember those verses. But you've got to read them first if you're going to remember them. Amen? And remembering to worship. That's the third part. Psalm 55, 17, evening, morning, and at noon while I pray. Why do we pray three times a day? Did God forget our request in the morning? And you got to remind him at noon? Is it for his sake that we're told to pray frequently? Or is it for our sake? We are prone to forget where the answers come from. And we need to be reminded to pray. It's okay to make an appointment on your phone that will remind you to pray. Daniel did it regularly three times. You notice Daniel was real good about the word, about the worship, and about the witness. You can that story in chapter 6, the lion's den. It says Daniel read the book of Jeremiah. Daniel was a Bible reader. By the way, that's in Daniel chapter 9. He prayed. He worshiped. He opened his windows. He witnessed. And the world was changed by his testimony because Daniel made it a point to remember. So we need to remember to worship. By the way, you heard mentioned during the announcements, our World Church is inaugurating 10 days of prayer beginning this Wednesday and concluding the following Sabbath after that, 10 days later. And we invite you to be part of that. The different pastors are going to give a brief devotional. Good time for us to start out the new year with prayer. Can you say amen? Amen. Exodus 20, verse 8, talking about remembering to worship. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I see that sometimes people will, I don't see them at church, and they say, oh, yeah, I missed, you know, I was tired, decided to sleep in or whatever the reason is. I'm not talking about sickness. I'm talking about they get lazy. They forget how important it is. And once you forget once, it gets easier to forget again. Then you'll go a couple times. Then you'll forget three or four times. Then you go, then you forget. And then pretty soon, you're doing more forgetting than going. And we'll become irregular in our church attendance. People say, well, I go, you know, three out of four times a month. If you had a car that started three out of four times, what would you do? Would you get it fixed? God wants us to be consistent. Amen? Leviticus 23, verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath, a solemn rest, a holy convocation. A rest from work, but a holy convening. That means a holy assembly. Part of Sabbath keeping is coming together. And the Bible says, especially as his day approaches, let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Amen? Hebrews chapter 10. Especially after COVID. They said a lot of churches, their attendance never did come back because people got in the habit and they forgot how important it was to gather together and worship. And most of all, don't forget his salvation. Don't forget what he's done for you. You know, it hurts the Lord when we forget about him. Heard about this man. He was invited next door to have dinner. He was a bachelor, and this elderly couple invited him over for dinner, and he went over to their house, and while they were fixing dinner, the man of the house kept referring to his wife as darling, honey, sweetie, dearest, pumpkin, all these beautiful terms of endearment. And she went off in the kitchen to do something, and the guest said to his host, he said, "I'm just impressed. You guys have probably been married 50, 60 years, and he says they're still so romantic in the way that you refer to your wife." And the guy hung his head and he said, "Actually," he says, "I can't remember her name and I haven't got the heart to ask her." Now we're laughing, but you know, there's some truth to that. Sometimes you're married a long time and people begin to get sick with memory problems. I started getting worried as I got a little older. I started noticing my memory wasn't what it used to be, and I did a little checking, and they said, "There's normal aging memory deterioration. Don't worry about that." But then there's something that's called dementia and Alzheimer's that is very serious. And you and I probably know people that have been married for years, people had a wonderful marriage, and then the husband, the wife, gets this dementia, and pretty soon, you know, they don't know where to find the ingredients to cook, or they put things that belong in the oven in the refrigerator, and they start making serious mistakes, and you got to take away their keys because they find themselves driving around not knowing where they are. And I've seen several cases where husbands and wives have taken care of their spouses, and what's really hard, and I've had them break down and cry and say, "You know, I was married to her for 60 years and we had the closest relationship, and now she says, I don't know who you are." That's what really hurts, is we were so close, and they say, "Who are you?" And when Jesus dies for us and we forget about him, that really hurts. So we need to make an effort to remember. We need to try. We need to study. We need to worship. We need to witness. That's why Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Amen? Well, it's entirely appropriate that this time of year we begin the new year by celebrating the Lord's Supper and communion. Let me just say a word. We always have visitors. Why don't we stand together and just ask for the Lord's blessing? Father in heaven, forgive us for our forgetfulness. Not just because of the inclination, but sometimes we contribute. Help us to do what we can, Lord, to remember. And even today, as we participate in this very important service where you said, "Do this in remembrance of me," Lord, help us to remember your love for us, your sacrifice, and to seek first your kingdom, to give you the priority that you deserve in our lives, to exercise those muscles of faith that we need on a daily basis. Bless now this service that you might be honored and glorified, and we thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.